Welcome to the Mini PC Show. This is episode number 7. Thanks for joining us as we talk about small PCs and the things that you can do with them. I am one of your hosts, Eric Ardini. I'm also joined tonight by Brian the Cable Man. How's it going, Brian?
Hey, Eric. Not too bad. I am stoked to be here. It's been a little while since I talked to you guys, and
that's a cable man. He's the cable guy, huh? The cable guy.
The cable guy. That's all right. I let it
thank,
slide.
Thank you
that's
for letting okay. it slide. And also the our pod father in sorts, Steve Door to Door Geek McLaughlin. How are you doing, Door? I'm good, man.
Big Eric. How I'm you good. Doing, brother? I am too. We got another round of snow, but because we're by the East Coast, middle of the East Coast, next day started to rain.
Ours will be gone, I think, tonight or tomorrow. It'll all be gone again. I think you guys actually had more snow this year than we did, though. It was fine with me.
That's not right.
Yeah, ours is almost gone, too, as well. I mean, that temperature went from negative 9 degrees to like 45 degrees.
they have a saying around here, if you don't like the weather in Illinois, just wait 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, they say the same thing in New England.
Not here
in Maryland. They say if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes.
Well, we've got a couple emails this week. Thank you for sharing some emails with us, guys. We also actually we have a voicemail, too. No, I guess we got one email, one voicemail, I think. Is that right, Dor? Does that sound right?
Okay. At least
one. Well, I'm going to read the one email I can find at the moment. And then if I find the other one while you're playing the voicemail, we'll come back to that one. So the first email, maybe the only one, is from Faulkner. He says, let me reiterate that this is a great show. I had heard that you were doing... You're going to do this on your other shows, so I could not wait. I am new to the mini PC devices, and I picked up a Banana Pi and a Raspberry Pi 2B to play with. I always wonder what project to start with, and I was thinking maybe it would be a good to have you guys tell us about your favorite projects that are for the new guys or beginners, and ones for more experienced or advanced projects. Maybe this could be a weekly thing as you find them. Thanks again, and keep up the good work, Faulkner. Well, I would have to say, Faulkner, I agree with you. I'm probably going to be more in the beginner's projects right with you. So maybe as I find some things, I will share them along as I just... I had a Pi a long time ago. I've been away from it for a while, and I just got a Raspberry Pi 2 Model B in the mail, probably the same one he has, I'm thinking. And I got a TFT... touchscreen interface for that that sits on top of it. And then I also have received, everything came in the mail in one day. Everything just showed up. And it was actually yesterday, and I didn't get home from work till like 8 o'clock at night. So I received an Arduino Uno and a touchscreen display for that, and then a bunch of wires and motor. I got like the beginner's kit, you know. I got wires and motors and maybe a couple sensors and a bunch of LEDs and some... I don't know, some things that look like volume knobs, but I couldn't tell you what the name of those things are right now. Probably resistors or something. And that's the whole kit I got there. So I'm gonna start looking for projects myself, Faulkner, and I'm gonna I think I might even take some video and do some screenshots as I load the programs on these, and maybe throw that on undinimedia.com or something to go along with you know, so we don't spend all day during the podcast going into great details.
Okay, well, I actually have two projects I'll throw out there. One is, I think it's called Laka. I believe it's, let me get the right URL here. I did add it to the notes here. LAKKA TV. www.LAKKA.TV. This is a emulation console distribution. This is only old game emulation. The reason I like this as a project is very, very little to zero configuration. You basically burn it to an SD card, stick it in your device, boot it up, plug up your game pad, go through the wizard to configure that, After that, it's very easy to get games on the device over your network. You basically open up your network shares and you'll see stuff like NES, Game Boy, SNES, and you just drop the games in there, reboot the device, and then there are your games. The real reason I like this is once you go through their wizard, they basically tell you they have custom distributions of this built for Raspberry Pi, PC, Qbox, the Hummingboard, the Odroid C1, the Odroid X3 or X4, Raspberry Pi 2, the Wii Tech Play, the Banana Pi, the Q-Board, the Q-Board 2, and the Cube Truck. So it's a very versatile, I'll say, tool that you can use. The second one I have, I'm going to put a link to the notes, is called Pi Music Box. I like this one because it's a similar fashion where you don't have to put a lot of back-end configuration to it. You burn it, you put it on your network, and it gives you a interface to right there in one interface play Google Play Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, web radio, a couple other sources. The interface isn't gorgeous, crazy pretty, but it is a decent streaming server you can put in your house with very little work. I think they're both good solutions, fun to play with. And there is, I think, a link in our notes for this week where it's just, I believe, a free book possibly on 9 Raspberry Pi projects. That's over at raspberrypi.org. I'll make sure that link's in the note as well.
Yeah, I looked at that link, and it also had another link in there for a Raspberry Pi projects for beginners too. That was something that they had the Kindle book for, and I was wondering if they had the print in the Kindle book. And I was reading the reviews on the Kindle book one, and it's full of projects for a beginner. I guess it was Raspberry Pi projects for dummies. And I wonder now, will Kindle books get updated as things change? Do you think? Do you think the author has the power to do that? Would that make it an advantage to buy in a print book, especially when you're reading about a subject that can change as fast as the stuff does?
That's a very good question. To me, my understanding is that's the whole purpose of buying a digital book. But I assumed that was the case with Kindle as well as Google Play Store, okay. You know?
Yeah. I'll say I hope so, because, just like Brian said, I thought that was the whole point to doing ebooks was you could get this kind of
I thought the update. Point was just to so you could watch them on your, you know, read them on your device that you have sitting there and stop playing, you know, Words with Friends for a second or something. Read.
Good luck with that. So do you guys have any favorite projects?
I personally don't have any ongoing projects right now, but I definitely would like to get into a project for network monitoring. Just so I can leave a low-powered, low-consumption device sitting and monitoring the network 24/7. You know, I don't have to have a big honking machine to do that. And I tapped a few guys on the shoulder to guide me through. I'm a beginner as well, too. And I actually made a purchase with the Raspberry Pi starter book, not the Raspberry Pi for Dummies. I didn't go that route. I got the I can't remember the title of the book, but it is a Raspberry Pi starter book, and it's pretty good. And, you know, it goes through some basic projects. Yeah, one of them I've already done. I did the Raspberry, unloaded Raspberry, and played around with that for a little while, and I did the Media Center, which was fairly straightforward, and it actually worked pretty good. But I definitely like to get into network monitoring, intrusion detection, and all that good stuff.
Very cool. Yeah, we have two links to the notes. 9 of the best Raspberry Pi projects, and then a link to the Do More with Your Raspberry Pi projects for dummies. They'll both be in the notes.
Dor, didn't you have a link not too long ago with, I forget the name of the project. It was for a network monitoring solution.
Yeah, there was a Nagios distribution custom designed for the Pi. Part of my problem with Nagios is I never remember how it's spelled. Oh, there it is. It's line 63 on our notes, so it was prepped for last week's show. Nagios Pi over at everyday-tech.com.
That's what it was. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, and that is, I would say, I don't want to say the standard, but it is one of the staples as far as network monitoring is concerned.
Yeah, I put a link to that, to the touchscreen, in the notes too, the one that I got sent to me. And that was part of a Make Good. And I gotta give a little shout out to Brooks from GadgetCat.com. She hooked me up. There was an Indiegogo that I had backed a while back for an Arduino board that just never, they never delivered. And somehow she, I don't know what the relationship was, but anyway, I ended up getting a coupon code for this website, and she's the owner of the website, and I ordered some stuff that was on back order, and I didn't know it. So, but I called her, and she actually, I told her that that I could use, I'm really wanting to do some projects, and I got a podcast that I'm on, and then, you know, what do you have in stock? Just send me anything. And she hooked me up with a comparable, you know, I think the backing was like 75, 80 bucks for the project that I had backed for them. And she ended up sending me that Raspberry Pi B2 and this TFT touchscreen display that sits right on top of it just perfectly. So we'll give that a try. And I want to thank her for making that good with me.
Yeah, that screen, I believe, is $60 alone retail. And it is what's called a hat. So it's physically connected to the Pi itself and just sandwiches right on top. I like that because it also leaves your HDMI port open. So you can do dual screen type things where you have your small screen right in front of you, but then you have HDMI out to a big screen.
Yeah, she,
nice. I didn't know that.
On here, it's $44.95 for it from Adafruit. And the and then I also did get a touch screen for the Arduino board, the Arduino Uno that sits on top of it, and it actually adds a micro SD card to it where I didn't have that before without this touch screen.
Oh.
So that I don't know exactly how that interfaces, but I'll find out.
Very cool. Did you find the email from Honky? And yes, I said Honky. His name is Honky Magoo. And he lives up in the great Northeast. I met him at Northeast Linux Fest, GNU Northeast Linux Fest, like 2 years ago.
Okay, I do find one here from January 15th. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit older.
So a little while, okay, Honky Magoo says, so a little while back on Google Plus, I saw a post about these devices, the PC Duino. The post said something like the RPI killer, and for only $15 on Amazon. So I checked them out, and he gives the link. It's www.linksprite.com/linksprite/PCDuino. Linksprite should probably get you there, though. I now have the PCDuino 3 Nano Lite and the PCDuino 2. I have played with the PCDuino 3 Nano Lite a little. I have put Ubuntu on it, which I believe is Lubuntu, L-U-B-U-N-T-U, and I'm trying to get Ubuntu Snappy Core running on it. Ubuntu Snappy Core running on it. Haven't had a chance to play with the PCDuino 2. I am hoping to use the PCDuino 3 as a server and the PCDuino 2 either for Android or as a client machine to remote into other machines hooked up to a TV and using a tiny Bluetooth keyboard with a touchpad. Anyways, that Google Plus post was the first I'd ever heard of these devices, so I figured I would share it. Good luck with the new show. I look forward to hearing more. Honky Magoo. I'd never heard of the PCDuino before this email. I remember this email. No.
Well, good, then I'm not the only one, because I never heard about these either. I'll say this. Physical size-wise, these look bigger than virtually every mini computer that I've seen. Some of them look as big as like the old video cards in computers, where they were literally like a good, you know, 4 to 6 inches long. Mm-hmm. Now, when these looks like they started out, they were not the powerhouse of mini computings. They were the affordable mini computing, like a single core 1 gigahertz processor, 512 meg of RAM, micro SD card, yada yada yada. Then they get a little bit better, like in version 2, it looks like version 3, they actually offer 4 gigabytes of onboard storage, which means you don't flash your OS to an SD card. you flash it to a chip on the device. That should make everything run a little bit quicker, a little bit snappier. And when you get to the PC Duino 3B and the PC Duino 3 Nano, that's when you also start to get towards gig Ethernet. So it looks like these guys are ramping up the parts in their boards as time goes on. But if these things are that cheap, that is a terrific board to literally play with, bang on, don't worry about breaking, and just have fun.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. So it looks like the difference, like you said, the difference between the Pi Duino 3, the PC Duino 3 and the 3B is the option of the integrated RJ45 port. Which, when you said 1 gig, my eyes opened up. That's pretty cool. Yeah, they don't give any dimensions here as far as how big these boards are, but they do look fairly large, like you had said, sporting a Cortex A7 dual core processor for the 3 and 3B.
Yeah, the one that looks closest to being Raspberry Pi like is the PC Duino 3 Nano. To me, that looks really close to being Raspberry Pi size. It might be just a shade bigger. But it does look like it has, you know, a lot of the ports you expect. And also, even on the PC Duino 3 Nano, I'm seeing stuff like a actual SATA connector. I'm a sucker for a SATA connection. That, to me, just screams, you know, with large disk space that's not a micro SD card, you don't have to worry about rewriting and causing it to fail early. You can use a real hard drive. So I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to get one of these, but right now I just got to say no. I can't.
Specialized ones too, like the PC Duino 8 STB actually has composite, not composite video, but analog video-ish, where it's component. Yeah, it was the yellow, maybe? And then it's got the red and white for the speakers. And then it also comes with an antenna solder on the board and a remote control that has I don't know if we could use that for gaming, like on an older television or something, possibly, or I don't know. It's just maybe
that's pretty cool.
The Duino 4.
This was the Arduino 8 STB. The PC Duino 8 STB. It has a 1 gig of RAM, DDR3. The network cable is a 10100. It's got Wi-Fi on it. Runs Android 4.4. This is almost. Makes you wonder if this is exactly what's inside of some of these TV boxes door, you know, haven't seen any of the TV boxes with the RCA output, you know, on them, but it does look similar to what you're getting.
Well, if you scroll all the way down in that 8 STB, they even sell a case for it, or there's a case you can get for it that really does make it look like a set top box. So it wouldn't shock me at all. I don't know. I'm my OCDs and ADHDs kicking in. STB has to stand for something. Yes. But I have no idea what.
It's set top box. You're talking to the cable guy. Of course he would know that.
Good man. That's cool. I love this because this is the kind of thing that honestly I'd never stumbled across. I never saw. I do not know why. This to me just says the choice when it comes to mini computing is grand and it's great. If these things are that cheap, you can literally just put these all over the house.
Mm. Yeah, definitely looking, these would look like prime candidates for, I know they have the PC Duino 4, 8 and the 4. These look like set-top boxes, prime candidates for front-end media centers. They don't do 4K, I'm seeing 1080p, but 60 frames per second video decoder. But quite honestly, I mean, who's delivering 4K video to your house right now as it is, aside from YouTube and Netflix? Nobody.
Yeah, and I don't want to go have to upgrade my TV already. It's working just fine. Let's just let it sit.
Right. And 1080p for my eyes, these old eyes, it's pretty good. So I can see these things being as front-end media centers.
As bad as my eyes are getting, I'm going to need 4K just to see this stuff. I'll justify any reason to buy a new TV, I think, really.
Definitely would have to talk the missus into that one.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Okay, Yeah, okay, so we played everything. Did we play the voicemail? Emails. We did?
No, we didn't do the voicemail yet.
Brain is no good. Okay, okay.
Doors up. Doors.
Hey, Podnuts. This is Lord Dragonblute, the Digital Dragon. Just calling in regards to the Mini PC Show, Episode 3. Dor was talking about a project called the Pirate Box. Well, I just want to call in and let you guys know there is a fork of the Pirate Box project called the Library Box project at librarybox.us, if I remember correctly. And it is a fork of the Pirate Box meant to be a digital library designed for use at schools or whatnot. So you can add files to the SD card and then share them out to people. Really great little project. So worth giving a shot. And it supports pretty much all the same platforms that the Pirate Box does.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. I seriously did not know about this.
No.
I mean, well, here's the thing I'll say. If you go to the site, look at the video, the box, the device they have is really small. That's not a Raspberry Pi. I don't know what it is, but it is really tiny. I love the idea of this, and I really wish that like my kid's school would get out of 1975 and offer these kinds of things. But I think it's really cool. You can buy the starter edition for $150. Hopefully that's because the money goes to a really good cause.
No, I haven't watched the video, but do you plug this into something?
I'm sure it has battery power. I'm going to say, I see a power switch. I see an Ethernet.
So maybe you take that and you log into it with a Wi-Fi off your tablet and then read books on like that website that it's serving to your Wi-Fi network.
Well, what it is, yeah, you connect wirelessly to it and then it offers you a web page where you can download content or upload content to it. So that's a way that you can digitally share. Now, if you don't want to spend $150 to support them, you can download the OS and build it yourself. It didn't look overly complicated. It seemed very easy. I didn't have time to test it out, but this is the kind of thing. I love people taking open projects, forking them, and then trying to make them better.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of open source. Looking at this $150 deal, it doesn't look like a Raspberry Pi. It looks very extremely thin. Looks like some custom hardware here.
I don't know, because some of the images I'm seeing, it's a square device. And then when I click on buy it, it's a rectangle.
In the video, it looked like a square, but looking at these images here on the buy it part, yeah, you're right.
I agree.
It's stickers for $5 too, by the way. But it looks like it's really simple to make it your own, well, using their software, because they only give four steps into doing it. Step one, download and install the library box, set the password, and then optionally configure DNLA, FTP, sync, and more. That might be worth a try.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my wife's been asking me about audiobooks, so this might, I don't know if it'll be about the same for audiobooks, though. I'll check it out.
You know what I just thought of? Just take a trip in the Wayback Machine about
way
20
back.
Minutes ago. My mind's kind of wandering a little bit. I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking about some issues that I was having with my car. So in my car, we have an infotainment system. You know, it's a minivan. It's got the, DVD player and everything. But I was talking to my dad the other day. I'm like, this thing feels like I'm putting 8-track tapes in the 8-track player. I'm playing some music. It's just so old and so ancient. But one day when I got into the car, the infotainment system wasn't working. It was glitchy. I couldn't get the radio, couldn't get navigation. Kids couldn't listen to any TV. Yeah, it was a mess. It was like that for a couple of days, and all of a sudden it just straightened itself out. So as it was doing its thing, I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to go out and buy another infotainment system. These things are like $700-$800. To me, dropping that kind of money for a 2005 vehicle, I don't know, just wasn't something I wanted to do. So I'm thinking maybe I could get some inexpensive tablets, $50 tablets, put them on the headrests, get Bluetooth headsets, Raspberry Pi in the vehicle, load all your content on it, bada boom.
Yeah, there's more than one system I've heard where you have your tablets on the chair, you have your tablets automatically connect to the Raspberry Pi. You have the Raspberry Pi with a small battery in it. So when you start the car, it's charging the battery and it's running the Pi. When you come home and turn the car off, the battery will still last a while. It will then sync libraries on your network back to the Raspberry Pi, so it will be automatically available for all of the tablets. And then there is where, like, as soon as you get ready to pull off, you can go in the car, start it up, press a button, and it will sync folders back over again. I've heard of these systems. I've never actually seen one documented, I'll say. But it can be hard.
Now, Brian, was this an aftermarket infotainment system in your van, or was this the one that came with it? It stopped.
It came with the vehicle. Okay. Yeah, it came with the vehicle.
I was thinking door two, yeah, rather than a small battery. I mean, get a good size phone charger, those portable phone chargers that, you know, have I've got one that I think, they've even got ones that you can jumpstart a car with, get one about the size of the Raspberry Pi and, you know, build a case around it or something, or just duct tape it, whatever.
Right. Well, real quick, the issue with power, I found out on about all these boards, and it's the question of what boards support what. Some boards, you can plug your power up to the micro USB hub or whatever socket it is. Then there's places on the board you can solder a external battery to or connect an external battery to, so you have continuous power. Mm-hmm. If you use a portable charger, a portable charger can only charge or only discharge at one time. So it's either charging or it's powering the Pi. So if you have a portable charger powering it, and if you go on a long trip, it will go dead. That's the only hook or crook with it. Now, I will say, if you want an all-in-one quote-unquote solution that you literally could Velcro to your dash, the Odroid C1 Plus and a case and a touchscreen, I think combined, was less than $60.
That's crazy.
Now, the touchscreen is only, you know, 3.2 or 3.5 inches. It's not big. But that was one of the ones I saw, and I really came close to pulling the trigger on that one.
But yeah, that's something you have to take in the house, you know, on a hot summer day. I can't imagine having that sitting in the vehicle baking.
True. And I kept thinking I could do something like that and then connect it so that can be my audio device when I'm in the car. It's a little bit difficult for me to get spousal approval because she likes to listen to music that I don't consider music. It's, new. So I don't think my solution would meet her needs.
Well, it depends on what station you have preloading and syncing to that Odroid. Maybe you got to change your taste to try out the new tech.
Yeah, sure.
Otherwise, you'd be going down the road. Dora, you don't really want to just listen to yourself again, do you, when you're driving around? Oh, wait, no, that's not my podcast. That's somebody else. Well, you all sound the same.
Yeah. The one thing I wanted to bring up real quick, guys, is Orange Pi 1. Okay. First off, there's a problem. And the problem is if you just search for Orange Pi, what you find is orangepi.org. And then if you click on models, there was a download link here. Oh, I can't find it. But they list Orange Pi Plus. Orange Pi PC, Orange Pi Plus, Orange Pi Plus 2, Orange Pi Mini 2, and the Orange Pi 1. First off, I had no idea there was this many versions of this thing because I was really confused when I got it in the mail. Wasn't sure what the hell I had. I did get the Orange Pi 1, which I do believe is the newest, most powerful one. When I got it, I figured out it doesn't work off of micro USB power, so I had to go buy a separate power device because I didn't have one sitting around. So it was only $9 for this board, but I needed to spend another $9 to get a connector. So I learned, but then I had to find a distribution to download. And on their site currently, they did not have a single distribution. Yeah, if you go to resources and downloads, they have downloads for the Orange Pi, the Orange Pi Mini, the Orange Pi Plus, the Orange Pi 2, the Orange Pi Mini 2, yeah, the Orange Pi PC. And that's it. Nothing for the Orange Pi 1. Okay. It's too new. So what I did was I found, and I'm going to make sure that there's links in the show notes, to Armbian, Armbian. It's a Debian version that's more generic for ARM-based devices. So this might work on the Odroid, might work on the Orange Pi, might work on the Raspberry Pi, might work on all the devices that we've mentioned today. But it worked on the Orange Pi. So did the Diet Pi that we brought up like on episode 2. But I wasn't getting video out. It might be my monitor resolution. I know the cable's good, but I didn't get any video, at least initially. But I was able to connect via SSH, log in, do everything that I expected to with a Raspberry Pi. And for only having 512 megs of RAM, I'm going to tell you guys right now, I was very pleasantly shocked by the performance. For $10, if I say that's a $10 device, and I say the Raspberry Pi is a $35 device, the value out of the Orange Pi performance-wise was easy $20 to $25. It wasn't as good as the Raspberry Pi, but it was great. Great for $10.
So you did end up getting it to export video to something? Oh, okay.
No, but I was doing everything else on it, building packages, updating, doing tests, doing a little bit of a load test. It has an all-winter H3, which I don't know what that means, but there's a couple more ARM devices I saw in the news in the last couple weeks that have H3 chips in them, which apparently is a good chip. This is a quad-core 1.2 gigahertz processor, only 512 megs of RAM. So if I tried to load a GUI on it, I'm sure it would be a little bit laggy. But doing intensive processing, like performing system updates, this thing is quicker than
Raspberry Pi. How do you know without seeing
that? Wow.
Because I know 512 megs of RAM, that's pretty low.
How do you know?
GUIs are always in RAM.
It's executing the updates and all the things you tried.
Well, because in Linux, I can connect via SSH. Oh. So I have a terminal window sitting in front of me on my other computer that is the Orange Pi.
Okay.
No problem.
Wow. I'm sorry to interrupt. So it looks like the all-winter H3 quad-core supports 4K video.
Oh, yeah. Well, it helps if I get 1K. Or
that's why you got to get a new TV, Dor. you're trying to put it to that old 1080p.
Right, but that's something to shoot for, I'll say that. And this has a micro SD card up to 64 gig, which means they did not pay the Microsoft tax to do more than 64 gig cards, 10/100 Ethernet bus, so it's not gigabit. It's only $10. And it's one of the stupidest things that I'm sorry, I love. It has a freaking power button. Okay. it's one of those little simple things that just puts a smile on my face. Now, one downside is it only has one USB port. So if you want to do anything with USB more than just a keyboard mouse combination or whatever, you have to put a USB hub up to it. But again, $10.
I see that it says on here for video. Oh, that's input. Okay. I saw 1080p at 30 frames, but that's input. So it does 4K out, though. I didn't see where that said that. Awesome.
Well, the processor's capable of it.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I got a question, Dor, since you're talking about video. Now, I don't have any extra monitors around that have a physical HDMI jack. There's no problem running like a HDMI converter. I got one sitting here somewhere, one of these things, little HDMI to VGA adapters on these Raspberry Pis and things. You wouldn't think that would be any problem, would you?
Now, on one, I ran HDMI to VGA. On the other one, I ran HDMI to DVI for the longest time. It seemed to me that they worked fine, but they were just not as... you had a limitation on the types of resolution you could do. You couldn't do all the resolutions with HDMI, which you should expect. But, you know, to me, so that was very acceptable. It did work just fine. Which is the question of figuring out what resolution to display.
Now, do you know this Orange Pi? I see the pins coming off the top. Are those standardized in any way? Do you think, like with the pinouts of a Raspberry Pi or something else?
Well, most of the people who do boards like this try to make their pinout compatible with the Raspberry Pi. That's so they can wear the Pi hats on it. That's right. When I looked at this, it did say not on this page. It did say that the pins were Raspberry Pi compatible. If you are the kind of person who knows about GPIO, you already know what all the pins do, kind of thing is my logic, which they are documented. I just don't see them documented on this page.
So I got breadboards and wires and things I'm going to be playing with. So I'm going to get it. I'm going to learn that GPIO.
I was thinking of a weather station when I saw that screen.
What screen?
on your Raspberry Pi.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
But you had mentioned that the Banana Pi that has a one USB port on it, I picked up a Logitech K400 wireless keyboard with a touchpad built in for like $24. And this thing's pretty great.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah, I think.
Yes, I'm just, yeah, I love this thing. This is my go-to keyboard for anything that I don't have my full laptop keyboard or my full desktop keyboard in front of me. And the reason I love the keyboard is on the top left-hand side, you have your normal mouse button click. So you can thumb control the mouse with one thumb and thumb click with the other.
Yeah, I've got two of those. One of them I actually picked up at a rummage sale or a estate sale for $7. It was like brand new in its package. They had no idea.
They had no idea what they had on it.
I've also used this one, and I kind of liked this. This is a Microsoft one, but it doesn't have the touchpad. It's the Arc keyboard. It's a good feeling keyboard, but it's just a keyboard. You know, I would say the K400 is like the official wireless keyboard of Podnuts anymore.
Well, and you got to have that because it's just one Bluetooth connector, and then you have keyboard and mouse. So you're not taking up twice as much.
Right, that's a low-profile USB connector, too, as well, so it doesn't stick out too far of the device
that's that you're not Bluetooth, into.
Though. I think those are great.
It's 2.4.
I'm sorry. It's wireless, 2.4. Yeah.
That's why I was so
yeah, I know it's wireless.
Worried that it wasn't going to work on my PC on my TV box because it wasn't Bluetooth and it was something else. I didn't know if it would need drivers or anything, and it worked just perfect.
Very cool. Well, since we got a voicemail from Matthew Williams, Lord D, I have to mention because he has been soft harassing me because he knew I had a habit for the longest time, and he's been harassing me to keep looking at. And I saw a Maradroid was offering the, I believe it's pronounced Vocor, V-O-C-O-R 1.0 piece of hardware. This thing is literally the size of an Ethernet port plus, 5-10% more. And that's like the widest face of the board. Now, this is when you get the board and the Ethernet port in one. If you go to Ameridroid and just click on Vocor, for $19.95, you can get the smaller version. It's literally like the size of a big thumbnail, is what I'll say. And this can run open work. It has at least, it looks like 20 GPIO general purpose input output, but they're not pins, they're holes in the board. So you got to basically either connect a wire to it or solder a wire to it to get a real connection. It's 1-inch square, built in Wi-Fi, built in a antenna, runs OpenWRT, which you can do some stuff with. It isn't just for routers. This is just crazy. This is just literally crazy.
Yeah. and it's Wi-Fi and it's got that Ethernet jack on it? Is that the one or not?
Oh, okay. That's the more expensive one. If you just go to Shop and Vocor, you'll see both of them, with the Ethernet jack and without. The with is $40, the without is $20.
That's very similar to the Asia RF Tiny Linux PC back from 2014.
Yeah.
Very, very similar.
Yeah. I do believe that was one of the things that like reminded me again, because I saw this and I said, oh, that's pretty cool. And he immediately piped up. Yeah. It's about as cool as this one that I've been telling you about for 2 years now, Dor. I said, oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
This thing is amazing. I can't believe how tiny this thing is.
Yeah. With Wi-Fi and Ethernet. It's just crazy.
And USB.
Yeah, the board is for this one is, it says 2.7 centimeters by 3.5 centimeters. You get RJ45, USB type A, and micro USB for power. Nuts.
Yeah, I can't think of a use case off the top of my head, but there's got to be a bunch of them.
Internet of Things. This thing screaming Internet of Things.
Yeah.
You know, build a box around me, put me in a place that's inconspicuous and fire me up. This is insane. I can't believe what I'm looking at here.
Yeah, the one thing I always think about because of that email we got and it like really like punched me in the gut is a print server. This kind of small, nonchalant, out of the way thing can make for what I think of as the perfect print server.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or file storage.
Yeah. Very cool. I will just remind people for project ideas, Odroid has a really good magazine, and the Raspberry Pi have magazines, digital magazines. Check them out. Subscribe to them. Their PDFs you get in the mail. They're honestly among the better PDF, quote unquote, magazines I've seen. Chalk freaking full with ideas, all kinds of stuff. There's one that there's one link I saw that I got to mention. I believe I saw it out of one of these magazines. It is a Raspberry Pi, three different game maker kits for the Raspberry Pi. This is the kind of, and of course, at least one of them was obviously Minecraft-like. I'll say that. They're called Super Crate Box, Maldita Castle, and they need to be fed. With all three of these, it looks like you can download, install them, and you can basically make small games on them. This to me is the kind of thing that a small child might find like ridiculously fun.
Yeah, I was looking at the Magpie, and that's the one that the Raspberry Pi has. It's called Magpie. If digital magazines would have came out like that to begin with, they may have been more accepted in the beginning. Because I tried digital magazines for a while, and like, well, I might as well just go to websites. This isn't like fun. I mean, they had the weird way how it would change pages. You know, it actually have like some kind of animated flipping of pages, which was cool for about 5 seconds, and then realized it was just slowing everything down. But they look really good. They're really well put together.
Wow. Yeah, it's definitely cool stuff. Now the question I got, I put a link in here, I believe today, line number 87 in our notes. I don't know what to think about this. It's called the Sir Clive Sinclair to launch a handheld ZX Spectrum with 1,000 games on it. They're expecting it to be about $100. Hardware-wise speaking, I gotta say, if this is how the actual device is going to look, I think it looks like a nice, solid, polished piece.
Yeah, it looks like they got into Door's head and said, "Hey, what would this guy buy?" And they came out with this. They threw a little Atari stripes at the bottom of it. They threw a really very, you know, 8-bit retro game on the screenshot for you to make sure that you hit the buy button. It's got a great look to it. Both sides of it are matte, but the middle of it's just a super glossy finish to it. Looks like the buttons, you know, seem nice.
It's got some rainbow color effects to it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a Claire thing on all their devices. They had the little rainbow in the corner. The thing is, though, I've never, when they say games, something tells me I'm going to never have heard of any of these games. They're going to be Sinclair-specific games. Mm. So this, to me, is one of those things. The novelty of it is the only thing that this thing's riding on, and I don't know how much of a novelty there is wanting this device, but I can tell you, like Eric said, spit and polish of this thing makes it look like if you like the Sinclair at all, you are going to buy this.
School Days, SKOOLDAYZ.
Oh, of course I have.
That's the game that they're featuring. Yeah, I hadn't heard of it either.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's a big fail. So here's the thing: when the PSP first launched. When I first saw that thing, I was just like, you know, I'm a grown man, but I'm going to buy this thing because it just looked fabulous. You know, you had a huge display screen. It was vibrant. It was bright. It was like the best looking thing on the market at the time. So But when I got to playing it, I'm like, you know, I could do a whole lot more with this thing. It's just, it just didn't seem like it was 100% there. It just seemed like it just, you could do a lot more. And so when you had devices like, you know, the smartphone, launching games that are in the App Store, a device like this would be perfect. Way better than a smartphone, just because, you know, you have your physical control buttons. You can physically, you know, get a good grip of it. You got a nice vibrant screen on it. So I think if they were to have some kind of access to general type games from the Play Store, I think this would be great. But like you said, with that game title that you just mentioned, I don't think this is going anywhere. You know, I wonder what else you can do on it other than playing games.
Yeah, it doesn't say what OS it's running or anything anywhere. And they also came out with another game machine called the ZX Spectrum Vega, which is, I don't know, possibly the same thing without a screen, I guess. So you plug it into something. And they've got a full list of the games that come on there. It's all retro stuff. It's retro games. And this one also says 1,000 built-in officially licensed ZX Spectrum games. And they start with, they're in alphabetical order. The first one's 1999, the second one's 2088, the third one's 1994, 10 years after.
Mm. Oh man, what happened to 2010? I mean, I thought that was the game.
Ballbreaker. Wow, there's 1,000 games in here, though.
Yeah. This does look like the kind of thing you hook up to a TV, and I'm going to guess it's not HDMI connectors. I'm just, you know, randomly guessing that. Well,
on the top here, from left to right, it looks like it's got a USB port, probably 2.0, a charger that port that looks like USB-C, and a micro SD slot. And, of course, you got your headphone jack and your volume rocker.
Yeah. I mean, this is a cool idea. Maybe in the UK, the Sinclair was more popular because it looks like all these are UK prices. I'm not sure. Cool novelty. Maybe if I was in like the lobby of a hotel and they had one sitting, I would play it for a little bit. But
there are four games in here that intrigue me. Because these are called the name of the game is, the first one is called Pie in the Sky, and it's PI. And then there's Pie There, Pie Bald, and Pie Eyed, and they're all just PI. So I wonder. I don't know. It was something developed for a Pi or something. I don't know. The retro games, though, Dor, you gotta, maybe you could find a new love with new old games or something, possibly.
Well, it would have to be a love with new old games that I've never heard of before.
To you.
Yeah, but they're old.
I think they play the same games in the UK that we play here. It's not like it's tea flavors or anything.
I don't know. There's one more link I have to throw out there, Eric. It was to cnx-software.com, and it is the how to use your old laptop screen with Raspberry Pi on your computer. Well, there you go. here's why I'm bringing this up, because me and Eric know, everybody we know had at least at one point in time a stack of laptops around them that didn't work anymore. But, you know, you salvage them for parts kind of thing. And we always thought, can we put the old screens to use? Okay. Is there any way So with this, you are capable of connecting your Pi to this, and bang, you have yourself more types of outputs, or even to your laptop screen. It's a $37 or $38 piece on eBay you can buy. Just interesting. I'm not sure how big of a market this is going to have. I'm not sure how popular this is going to be. But if this is the kind of thing that you wanted, then you have to click the links in the notes and go to cnxsoftware.com and check this out.
So if you have a laptop with a bad motherboard, you could reuse the screen. So that's what you're saying here?
Yeah, you hook your Pi up to this, and then the inverter out goes to your typical laptop inverter. And then voila, you have yourself your laptop screen running off of a Raspberry Pi.
That is something I've always wanted to do. And before I saw this, there were some ways of going around about doing it. But you needed to be very sure on what type of laptop screen you had so you can get the right module that will fit nicely on the Raspberry Pi. Because if it was the wrong module, then it wouldn't work, obviously. So you need to be very sure what the model number was on the laptop screen. But this here seems a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah, I definitely like the idea of it. And beneath it, they have like a breakdown of somebody putting it to use. And you can see in their little case, they have HDMI out, Ethernet, 4-port hub, a power reset button, the audio in-out, VGA, DVI in, HDMI in. So they're basically using this for inputs. This is really, could be, I'll just say, cool.
Yeah, like a 40-gig hard drive sitting in there, too. But,
well, who has a 40-gig hard drive even sitting? How can we even get a 40-gig hard drive? You have to go to a museum,
maybe it's a 40 crack open gig a
computer,
SSD.
And steal it.
I don't know.
What?
I don't think they make them anymore either.
I don't know. It looks like a laptop drive from the picture. But
yeah, and then if you like, scroll down, you see they have it literally connected to the hinge of a laptop, and then above it is the screen. That's kind of cool. I mean, this to me is really one of those things. It really could be cool. I don't know if the time invested is going to be worth the reward you get out of it, except for the reward of look what I did.
Yeah. I guess that would all depend on how you end up using it, you know?
And I know I've got at least one laptop sitting here with a really nice screen that doesn't do anything. That was a leftover from me trying to fix it, and it was fried.
There you go. This might be your solution.
Maybe.
Yeah, this is almost mind-numbing cool, but man, I don't have the time, and something tells me even though there might not be soldering involved, I still might set my house on fire.
So are you going from HDMI out to HDMI in on this thing to then a ribbon cable that comes off of the laptop screen? I don't see the ribbon interface where it goes.
Yeah. Well, that's what it happens. It goes from the Raspberry Pi HDMI over to the HDMI out, back in through, I believe they have it through the HDMI back in, then come out of the inverter back out to the actual screen. Because on the laptop screens, the inverter carries power to light the screen and the actual data for the screen. Yeah. And it really looks like the only extra piece of hardware they need is a voltage regulator connected to it.
Right.
And this is so neat and clean. I guarantee you, I did this. Lord, it would be messy. You know what I mean? Pieces would be like halfway falling out.
Yeah, we definitely need a box for it. Maybe like one of those deep picture frame boxes or something. You can mount your screen inside.
Right. Very cool. Very cool. Is there any other links here or anything else you guys wanted to?
Just excited. I got all this stuff now. I need to. Hey, if anybody has projects that they think that I might be interested, please email the show or hit us up in the Google Plus community, and I'll definitely take a look at them and try it. And because I'm not as imaginative as a lot of people, so let your imagination work for me, if you would, and give me some great ideas to try out so I can show off to my family that all this stuff that just showed up in the mail actually does something. Yeah,
open up the floodgates. Be careful what you ask for.
Bring it. I honestly see things, but no, I want some ideas. And then I gotta find some time to do it, but I'll make time.
Time is good.
Dor, you got anything else tonight?
No, I mean, I'm pretty good. I literally have to sit down. The problem with this show is we still do have links sitting on the floor, but there's so many links we bring up in each show, I literally need to let them digest, which is why, unlike every other show, as soon as I find a link, I push it to the Google Plus to let other people also look at it, read about it, let it sink in, because there's a lot of stuff. This is the kind of community you do not want to get an email every time there's a posting or a notification every time that there's a posting, because you might leave Google Plus.
Turn your notifications down. You were talking, the old droid you said that they had problems with them overheating or something you were getting in the mail?
No, that's the Banana Pi M3 is the one. That's the one with the octa-core and
so,
the
so two you, gigs another of one of your posts. I mean, Dor fills up this the spreadsheet with things. Is the water cooling video on a Raspberry Pi, which is pretty pretty neat.
Yeah, something tells me the guy just said, what can I do just for the sake of doing it? Oh, I know. I'll water cool my Raspberry Pi. Now listen, I'm sure it's cool, and I'm sure he can overclock the heck out of this thing. But I mean, really? What's the point? I mean, for all the money he spent, he could have got a couple pies and just clustered them together. I never really got
into water cooling, but there doesn't seem to be any. Oh, okay, never mind. For most of the video, there doesn't seem to be fluid flowing. You got to go 6 minutes into it, then the fluid starts to move. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, come on now. You have to explain.
I've got the audio down, so I can talk to you guys. It's nicely mounted to plexiglass, so it looks good.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the whole reason to do this is to show it off, is to basically say, hey, look at this. Isn't this cool? Because for any other reason, I mean, people are just going to look at you like you have a...
I wasn't cool enough to use water cooling on my PCs that probably could have used it. So, kudos to this guy.
Hey, did you guys see the new updated Chrome... not the Chrome bit. The Compute Stick? The pricing had just recently come out. I think it's $150.
This
was showcased in 2016 CES.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth on whether or not that's a good deal. When I think about it, I think about the device, I think it's overpriced. Then when I look at the specs, I start to think, well, you know, that really isn't a horrible price.
Yeah, things like this make me wonder why there's smart TVs at all. Just throw this, throw something like this on it, and you'll never need anything that a smart TV would try to provide to you.
Right. And I did listen
100%.
And I did listen to the, I want to say, I can't remember what it's called now, the IPX podcast. I said, you know, the guy from Little Putin starting one. Episode 2, he had a guy on from Intel talking about the Compute Stick, what they saw was the good use case for it, why they made it kind of thing. Okay. This is a huge thumb drive, is the way I'll put it. It's not big, but it's bigger than a thumb drive. HDMI on one side, but it also has built into it a Atom X5 processor, which I want to say we looked at was a quad-core Atom processor, 2 gigabytes of RAM, 32-bit storage, 802.11ac Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 4.0, micro SD card slot, and a full-size USB 3.0 and 2.0 port. This makes the old Intel Compute Stick look bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is so much more powerful. And the Bluetooth Wi-Fi, the guy said, was greatly increased. Where before, on the old one, if you went more than even, like he said, 15 feet away, the Wi-Fi would drop out. He said, on this new one, it is much, much, much better. So for $115, it ain't bad. Now, here's the other thing he said. The old one, you had the Windows version, and then you had the hampered, handicapped version that ran Linux on it. He said the sales were not good. Partially, he said, because he believed the people who really wanted to run Linux on it bought the more expensive one and then fought to get Linux on it. He said, so what we did was we have 2 versions, identical hardware. One is with Windows, one is with no OS on it. So if you really want to run Linux on it, he said, you can buy the one with no OS on it, install whatever you want on it, whether it's Gen 2, Arch, Ubuntu, whatever, and it will work. So to me, it's more balanced. I'm looking at
maybe this is the new ones, but they're coming with, there's 3 different versions, all with 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of onboard storage.
I don't know if they're out yet. They said they were planned.
They have full specs on them now. They're 4K.
Well, and those are $400.
One of the 3 has Windows 10 installed. Yeah, Q1 2016 is their launch date. So it should be any time.
Wow.
$400. Well, wow. Yeah, this is $150. My dad was asking me for a computer. He was like, you know, what kind of computer should I get? And he rarely ever uses his brand new smartphone that he just got a little while ago. And so when he had said that to me, I automatically thought of the Compute Stick, you know, and Now, the more and more I think about it, I wonder if the ASUS Chromebit, the CS10, might be more sufficient for them. You know, it's $70, that's $80, you know?
Yeah, Chromebit, I think, is much more of a normal person's usable computer, where the compute stick is like a good businessman traveling, hook it up to a pro ejector computer.
Wow, that you can order those from Walmart, the Chromebit. I don't know if it comes directly from, yeah, looks like it comes right from Walmart. That's when you know a product is getting there, when it's in a plastic foil wrapper hanging on a peg hook at Walmart. You know that they finally kind of got it down to the mass market.
Very cool.
I fully agree with that.
I think I had a Roku, and then shortly after I got my Roku, then I saw them at Walmart. I'm like, yeah, okay. I feel good with my purchase. I was a little early on this one, but they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, it looks like I'm surprised they didn't go with the X7 on the compute stick. That's a little bit better processor that they probably could have ran on that one. Cherry Trail. Is that correct?
That sounds like right. Yeah, on the new one, they said they wanted to go Skylake. I miss the old days. P3, P4. I knew it was better. Now it's such a blur. I'm never quite sure.
No, the only reason why I mention that is I think the Kangaroo mini PC has the same processor in it.
Ah, and, gotcha.
Yeah, the Kangaroo is a fairly decent mini PC. I spec'd a little bit better than the Chrome stick, and it's got a far better price tag on it too. It's $99. They just had an upgrade recently too, as well, from their 2 gig model to a 4 gig model.
Yeah, you're borderlining on the on the PC area that I'm even using right now. I'm using like old Vista, Windows 7 Vista. Yeah, Vista computers with like originally had like 2 gigs of RAM. Now I've got them upgraded to 4, and they're running just fine on for what I'm doing. But man,
no, I agree.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I said that to my father-in-law. He was looking for a new computer a while back, and you know, I was like, oh, I want a really fast computer to play all these video games and stuff. I'm like, well, what kind of games are you playing? You know, he's got Flight Simulator, Microsoft Flight Simulator from way back when, and some really old PC games. I said, you know, honestly, if you got, you know, he's looking like, they got a Core i5, Core i7 machine. I'm like, you're buying too much computer.
I just went through this with my dad. I ended up buying him an i5 with, I think, 8 gigs of memory, terabyte hard drive. He's going to do eBay with it. That's about it. But he's got it, you know, if he gets into like, you know, saving things, and you know, he's got a whole collection. If he wants to take a picture of every piece of his collection before he sells it on eBay, you know, he can, I guess. I wasn't quite ready to put him into something too small yet, because he hadn't had a computer. I mean, the computer that we moved out of the way to put this one in was Windows ME. And that was
those curse words.
Yeah, it was not fun being his tech support. So I got him something I'm not going to have to really have to mess with, I don't think.
Windows ME. Bad times. I remember that from way back when.
Yeah, if you take Windows CE, add it to add it to Windows ME, and then if you add that to Windows NT, you get cement.
Good point, Dora. Wow.
Yeah, that is a good one. I actually have a Windows CE handheld device. I used to connect it to a dial-up service and surf the bulletin boards. Oh, gosh. Yeah, but my father-in-law ended up going with a Core i3 machine with 4 gigs of RAM. It worked out for him. I wanted to squeeze him into the Kangaroo or something like that, but I don't think the games he was playing.
So did you get his old flight simulator installed on there? Huh, that's good.
He did. He got it installed. He got it running. But he was coming from what was it? He had Windows 7. He had upgraded from Windows Vista, not Vista, Windows XP Media Edition, and he upgraded the Windows XP to Windows 7. It was kind of tumbling on him a little bit. It was crashing on him a little bit. So just too old. You know, it was from 2005, I would say. Maybe 6. So, yeah, anything that he would get out of the store brand new would have been better than what he had. But I digress. I think
we're about pushing our time for tonight. You guys got anything else before we close it up?
I do not.
I'll just ask people, if you have ideas for what we could, should do on Patreon, don't hesitate. Gunapodcast.com, contact shows mini PC and send us an email or a voicemail at 707-6-PODNUT, and we will play it on the show. If this is something that the audience of this show would like to have, more content, video content, different kind of content, or different kinds of bonuses and perks, you have to let us know. If you don't want to, then email us and tell us you don't think we should have a Patreon. Feedback is mandatory. If we don't have feedback, we're just floundering fish out of the water.
Absolutely. Definitely let us know how we're doing. And take a trip down to the Google Plus page at Mini PC Google Plus and poke around.
All right. Well, we will talk to everybody next week. We'll see you then.